great delight to be able to welcome Bishop Mike Royal to be our speaker this evening. It's really wonderful to have you with us. We thank you for what you shared with us this morning. That was great. A foretaste of what's to come. So it's brilliant. I could tell you all those really amazing, impressive roles that he's had, but you can Google that yourself. I think what we want to say to you tonight is we recognise that you are a man of God, that you have a heart for mission, a heart for community engagement and young people, and a heart for God's word. And we just really want to hear from you what you have to share with us about mission tonight. So I just want to pray for you now. Let's pray. Loving God, I just pray for Mike now. I just thank you for all the ways that you have sown into his life, the ways that you have woven different opportunities, experiences, and the way that he has dwelt in your word and worked your word out in his life as he has followed you as Saviour and Lord. And Lord, now as I pray, as he shares, I first of all just pray that you'd give him that release in your spirit, that he would be able to convey all that you've put in him for us this evening. Lord, would you bless him as he shares with us? And Lord, would you give us eager listening ears to hear all that you have to say, not only to each of us as individuals, but to us together as Baptists together. So speak now, Lord. We are here for you. We are listening to you. And we welcome your word among us and our brother, Mike. Amen.
Reverend Lynn, thank you so much. It's a real great joy to be with you this evening. And this evening, I've really felt led to speak on mission is faith in action. Tomorrow, I'm going to really give a call to unity, but this evening, I'm going to focus on mission is faith in action. And certainly that is described to us in the passage of scripture that we've had read. And for me, the five marks of mission provide a backdrop to our theme this evening. The five marks of mission are to proclaim the good news of the kingdom, to teach, baptize, and nurture new believers, to respond to human need through loving service, to seek to transform unjust structures, to challenge violence of every kind, and to pursue peace and reconciliation. And then also to strive to safeguard the integrity of creation and sustain and renew the life of the earth. That is the mission of God, and he has called us to that in its entirety. I love James chapter 2. When you read the whole chapter from verse 1 right through, we realize that this chapter deals with themes of equality, oppression, social justice, social action, and this whole idea of who is my neighbor. Before coming to speak here, I've spent some time reading Baptist history, and I think you have an incredible legacy to live up to. And when I looked at Baptist history and your distinctives, some of the things I realized was that this is a movement that was developed from grassroots believing communities from its inception. And that the Baptist Union and Baptist churches generally have an incredible history of activism. You have been a reforming church. You have a non-conformist history. You have an incredible tradition of being a dissenting voice, speaking up for the marginalized and speaking out when you see injustice. I'm going to look at the part you've played in the development of the Sunday school movement.
and the important emphasis on the moral and spiritual formation of children and young people. Yes, friends, this is your legacy. And then how you were one of the first denominations who put your hand up and acknowledged the complicity in the transatlantic slave trade and acknowledged therein the importance of the sanctity of each human life. And then particularly over the last 20 years, your engagement in mercy ministries. Mercy ministries like Linking Lives and Renew Wellbeing, two of many mercy ministries that are replicating around the country that have emerged from your own tradition. I want to say I'm slightly jealous that I'm not one of the 50 plus people who were lined up before you. And tonight I want to encourage you to dig deep and to rediscover all that God has made you as a movement. Grassroots believing communities. You've always cherished the autonomy of local covenanted communities under God, while valuing at the same time your interdependence, both with working with other Baptist churches, but also with the wider body of Christ. Baptist congregations are long established in local communities. You understand the heartbeat of your community. And therefore, you are well placed to respond to all the demographic changes that are taking place in society today. As new housing developments are built, changes in the ethnic makeup of communities, and the onset aging of population in particular parts of the country, you're well placed not to be caught napping, because there are too many lessons for us to learn when we do not have an eye on what is happening in our communities and in wider society. And of course, you would expect me to talk about ecumenical engagement, how important it is that while we give time to our own congregations, we are absolutely committed to ecumenical engagement more broadly. Up and down the country, we've seen unity movements, local churches together movements, who have engaged together to make sure when we're serving society, we are doing it with one voice. And we are doing it together. In my first year and a half as General Secretary of Churches Together in England, I've made it my business to go and visit some of our local Churches Together groups. And one of the things I've gleaned is that in places, in certain places, if it wasn't for our Churches Together groupings, then perhaps churches, particularly in rural and more remote communities, may have disappeared altogether. The importance of ecumenical working is absolutely vital. And so much of that work is not just done by church ministers, but by ordinary people who are just interested in committing and working with others. The importance also of looking again at your missional activity and making sure that it is updated and relevant to the communities you are serving. And if it's not, and if you need to do something different, I want to say to you tonight that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. There are organizations like Trussell Trust Food Banks, Christians Against Poverty, Transforming Lives for Good that I was involved with so many years, and so many others who actually will take your hand and work with you in partnership so that you might serve your local communities. Grassroots believing communities that are touching lives and making a difference. That's a Baptist value that I want to encourage you to lean into tonight. Secondly, amplifying dissenting voices.
During the coronation, and some of you will know that I had the privilege of being involved in pronouncing the blessing of the king, but during the coronation, we found ourselves putting out an article entitled, "We Have No King But Jesus." And the inspiration, of course, of that article came from you, the Baptists. Now, I'm not suggesting for a minute that everyone in this room is an anti-monarchist, but I do think that there is a deep suspicion of the establishment within your tradition. In fact, when I read about your history, I read right back, and it talks about letters being written to King James demanding that human liberty be written in to the constitution and the way things were done, and that actually an individual's personal religious conviction is between them and God, and the king or anyone else may not judge or dictate this. We have no king but Jesus. And that was going back. We're going back there 400 years. But wind forward to today, and I look at the brilliant work that the Joint Public Issues team, which brings together Baptists and Methodists and URC to challenge issues of systemic failure. We were greatly privileged to have the Joint Public Issues team visit our 52 member churches at our enabling group that has just gone past. And I can tell you now, as we looked and as we engaged in the issues of the cost of living crisis, the feedback was that's been the best enabling group of gathered church members we have ever had. A public-facing body that's looking at issues of sanctuary, issues of refugee, issues of cost of living crisis, issues of climate change. These are the issues that matter to people and how we need to engage with them. When the George Floyd murder took place in 2020, and we began to talk about having a distinctly Christian march from Parliament down Whitehall to Trafalgar Square, who were some of the key leaders who said, "I am in"? They were Baptists. They were people who said, "Yes, I am going to stand, I am going to speak, and I am going to march. The Christian voice will be heard." Friends, I'm only telling you your own history, but sometimes we need to be reminded where we have come from so we know where we are going. Third thing I want to talk about is youth work matters. I said earlier that the Baptist movement was heavily involved in the Sunday school movement. Sadly, the statistics post-pandemic make grim reading in terms of youth work throughout the church. Some of this is due to volunteers being tired, just people generally being time poor. Some of it's about people having kind of looked and reviewed what they can give themselves to and deciding that they can no longer volunteer to help with children and youth work. I was reading some statistics from the youth work Christian charity YouthScape,
and they did a deep dive in the Anglican Diocese of St. Albans, but I think what they found can be extrapolated to our denominations more generally. They found that for children of 0 to 6 years of age, 74% of churches were providing something. But by the time you got to young people from 15 to 17 years old, only 31% of churches were providing for that generation. I know, having worked with Transforming Lives for Good for many years, I know that children often, and young people, often fall through the gap in the transition between primary school and secondary school. But another place where they fall through the gap is a transition out of school, either into a work placement, to college, or to university. And I think that these statistics should be a wake-up call for all of us to invest in youth work. And I do understand that they will look different for different churches. Perhaps for you, it's about investing in a youth worker. And perhaps you've already invested in a youth worker. Perhaps that's saying to ourselves, well, maybe we need to increase the amount of investment we're putting into our children and youth team. And friends, even if you can only meet a couple of times a month with the young people, even if you can just meet once every 3 weeks, my friends, it is absolutely worth it. I was reflecting on my own journey to faith. I came to faith last year was 40 years ago that I came to faith in Jesus Christ, 1982. And I was a young guy of 14 and a half years old. And I grew up in the Pentecostal holiness tradition. But I also grew up in London, and now our district youth group was really strong, but the leaders were strict. It was Pentecostal holiness. And I can remember that there was always this awkward clash. And the awkward clash was always on the bank holiday of August, when there was convention time, but at the same time, there was also carnival. And so what we would do is that we would come to convention in the morning, go to carnival in the afternoon, and turn up to convention the worse for wear in the evening. Except the mints didn't work and the youth workers smelt our breath. And so we were put on this strict regime. And I remember that the strict regime that we had to do 3 days of fasting. Now, please understand, I'm not a small bloke. I loved my food then, and I love it now. And so we did this 3 days of fasting. So day one, everything went okay. And I came and kind of met my friend in the evening. How are you doing? And I noticed he was chewing something. So I said, what are you chewing? He says, I'm chewing mints because it keeps your breath fresh. Day two, popped round to his house. And he had a bag and he kept on reaching into it. I said, what's in the bag? He said, pears. I said, pears, we're fasting. He says, yes, but these line your stomach to make sure that you don't get the juices giving you a stomach upset. By day three, we were eating chicken and rice. And I laugh about it. But do you know what? I am here because people cared for me as a young person. Because people protected me and wanted the best for me. And it was a tough regime, but it did me good. I'm not suggesting for a moment that you tell your youth group in 2023 to do what we were told in the 1980s, but it is the principle that if we invest our lives in children and young people today, it will stand them in good stead in the future. I was looking back at my own congregation with the young people, and I can tell you now, I cannot count on my hands the number of people that went into ministry as a result of the kind of care and concern that we were given as young people. Young people are worth investing in. Finally, I want to challenge you about word and deed. Baptists, of course, have a theology that is rooted in a high regard for Scripture and the Word of God. Coupled with your activism, that is powerful. My own experience over many years of partnering with Baptist churches is a good one. Certainly when I was working in transforming lives for good, at least three, if not more, of our centres were set up in partnership with Baptist churches. And whether we were working in Bolton in the north of England, in Birmingham in the Midlands, or in Reading in the south of England, one of the things that I always used to say, there's something about the activism at the heart of Baptists that just make it easy to do. And I have had to stand before some of your local voting groups, and I thought, oh my goodness, this is never going to get through. And then the next day, the pastor rings and said it was, you know, virtually unanimous, perhaps with one or two dissenting voices. But you know something? My experience was absolutely brilliant. I can do activism. And I think in this time, with the needs we have in our communities, I really understand that the pandemic has taken its toll on our churches. I know that many volunteers have needed to pause, and actually that churches have needed to look at what they're doing and say to themselves, how can we be more focused so that we do what we're meant to be doing and not what we've always done just because we've always done it. But I do want to call you to lean in your communities. It's been incredible. Churches Together in England have been part of the Church Works Commission that has been led by Bishop Paul Butler, the Bishop of Durham. And in that time, we've seen over 4,000 churches open their doors as warm hubs through the winter to help those who had to choose between putting food on the table or heating their homes. And I know that many Baptist churches have been involved in that. But there are some things that we need to be careful of. I want to encourage you to resist the dualism that says we do word only, but we don't do deed. Because that is not the gospel. That is not the whole counsel of God. And you only have to read James and that chapter that we've looked at tonight to know that God has called us to both and. But at the same time, we also need to recognize the danger of just being good social workers if we don't appropriately take the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ as we are serving our communities. And we need to do that in a way that is not manipulative, but we need to do that. I refuse to walk into rooms with local governments, with police, with central government, and leave my faith at the door. You either get all of me or you get none of me. And we need to be confident, yes, we need to be confident in the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. And so I want to encourage you to lean into continuing to serve your communities and to do it as one with churches across your city. So in conclusion, I have looked at four areas, four Baptist distinctives that I have discovered from reading your history. Grassroots believing communities, amplified dissenting voices, the prioritization of children and young people, word and deed in tandem. May we work in the power of the Holy Spirit. If we work in our own strength, we will run out of steam. But if we work in the power of the Holy Spirit, where, as you have done over these two or three days, you take time out in the rhythm of the year to come and be renewed and refreshed, and you go back onto the front line and then serve with your congregation. If we do that, if we take those down times and we allow those to be times where we are nourished, where we are renewed, and then are able to go full rather than empty to serve our communities, then we will stand the test of time. May you know fruitfulness to everything you put your hand to. So many times in ministry, we put our hand to the plow and we feel like the fishers who said to Jesus, "We have been fishing all night and we've caught nothing." And Jesus says, "Throw your net on the other side." And they catch this wonderful shoal of fish that the nets were so heavy, they had to get other boats to help. Some of us feel like we have been laboring all night. And this is tiring, and we are getting nowhere. May we hear the voice of God leading us forwards. And may we pray for the fruitfulness and the favor of God to be upon the work that God has given us to engage. So that as we do it, God goes before us. And he causes it to flourish. My experience in ministry over 30 years, from 1993, when I was first called into the pastoral ministry, today is that actually, when I give it to God and step out of the way, God often acts in that moment. I remember when we were working for TLG, and I remember when we were establishing our centre in Manchester, and we needed to kind of open in the autumn, and we were literally down. We needed to raise £60,000, and we didn't know where that money was going to come from. And I remember going on holiday in the summer and coming back, and a letter arriving with virtually to the penny exactly the amount of money that we required. God did it all by himself. When we come to the end of our tether, may we know tonight that we have a God who does come through for us, who does make fruitful the work of our hands. May your mission endeavor lead people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and enable human flourishing across our nation. Thank you, and God bless you.